Good morning. We're reading the Gospel of St. Mark, page 686. Chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up and quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret to the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and soon they will hear it. Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Those who have will be given more. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The word of our Lord.
I want to share a picture I found in our entryway a few Sundays ago after our Truth and Reconciliation Sunday. Christy, you can put the slide up. I don't know who colored it, a child or maybe an adult. This is one of the coloring sheets that Melanie offered for kids that week. And what caught my attention was the phrase, "They tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds." They tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. The origin of this phrase, when I did a little bit of research, I think is a Mexican proverb. And it could be a saying about the resiliency of indigenous peoples. I think that's what the purpose was of this coloring sheet. But it could be applied to all oppressed groups. It speaks about persevering with acts of justice and mercy and even our life of faith as well. The image that we went with when our delegates went to speak with the CBWC board in Calgary a few weeks ago was this image of us scattering seeds, not knowing where our words would land and if they would find fertile soil or not. But at least we knew we were there to scatter seeds. When you identify with being something so small in the face of something so large in our world, it is encouraging to realize that seeds, they need to be buried in order for new life to come. In the face of something that seems like burial and death, the irony is seeds go underground to produce growth and life. That's the pathway of a seed. It's encouraging to think about seeds. This chapter in Mark 4 is a chapter of Jesus teaching parables, stories that have underlying meanings. And in these parables, he often talked about seeds. The most famous is this parable of the farmer who scattered seeds on the ground, and depending on the soil, they were either eaten, scorched, choked, or produced a harvest. And the second parable in Mark 4 about a seed was a farmer who planted seeds and then he does nothing. He just sleeps and rests, and a harvest grows after a slow time of waiting. And the third parable is about a very tiny seed, as if we can't get any smaller when talking about seeds. This time it's the tiniest of seeds, the mustard seeds, that's planted and then grows into a large shrub or tree with branches that bring life and home to many creatures. Within these parables of seeds, Jesus talks also about a lamp being hidden under a bowl and needs to be uncovered and measuring growth. One of the things that Jesus did when he walked on this earth was teach crowds of people about God's kingdom, the way God imagines and desires people to live on earth. We also read in chapter 3 last week when Jesus, aka Elmo, chose 12 specific disciples, not his blood relatives, but an eclectic bunch to be close to him and to learn his teachings. We read in chapter 4 that Jesus taught them when they were alone, allowing for the disciples to ask questions and gain deeper understanding. However, a pretty major theme in the book of Mark is that the disciples, most of the time, are just confused. Let's take a closer look. I'm going to read the few verses today of our close look, which is 9 to 13. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." One of the key themes that Jesus is talking about here is listening well. Listening well. The deeper meaning of the parable is for those who want to walk in discipleship with Jesus and are open to his radical messages. The good news are for those who can hear this, who have eyes to see and ears to see and hearts that are open to something that goes against the status quo. Parables are a way of speaking to the heart. You can't understand as well as if someone told it to you directly. I once had a dream. This was in the nighttime, sleeping kind of dream, where I was driving a big truck and I was changing into a lower gear. That was the dream. I was driving a truck, and the focus was my right hand changing the gears, and I woke up fascinated with it. Now, I just told you this dream straight up, and it doesn't mean much. But when I listened to the dream with my eyes and ears and heart as I pondered it, the message or the invitation that came to my mind was, slow down, Monica. Change the gears in your life right now, because perhaps there's a corner or a stop ahead. I wasn't sure, but changing the pace of my life into going into a lower gear that I was running spoke to my heart. Now, if someone would have said to me straight to my face, like a friend or Malcolm, my husband, "Monica, you need to slow down," I don't know if I would have heard that from them speaking to me so directly. But because I was pondering over and over this image, it became clear to me that there was a change needed in my life. It had to do with my mindset, had to do with my pace to prepare myself for a new direction that was coming. Now, this is sort of similar to parable talk. Parables are to be pondered and wondered at. If Jesus was speaking straight on, people wouldn't be able to accept his teaching. A theme in the book of Mark is people not being able to hear or listen well to Jesus's message. We already saw that with the religious leaders in those first chapters of Mark. They reject him and his teaching pretty early on. Now in chapters 3 and 4, we're getting a glimpse of the disciples and how they relate to Jesus, and they don't always get it either, even when Jesus explains the parables in straightforward ways. But one thing we don't want to get confused by is that Jesus isn't trying to hide things from people. He's not saying the kingdom of God is a secret only to be whispered to a certain inside group. Jesus is not meaning here in verse 12, "I don't want to be direct in my teaching, otherwise people might be forgiven." No, the quotation here is from the book of Isaiah, and it's talking about people with stubborn hearts, not willing to change. The hiddenness and the mystery of parables are understood by people willing to listen, to be open to new teaching, open to change, open to the call of justice and compassion and mercy that Jesus was on about. Now, I think these teachings in Mark 4 are so very hope-filled for us. They encourage us to have patience, to persevere, and to hope like seeds being buried. With seeds, change doesn't happen quickly. It has to find the right soil. It takes days and nights, and grows only in stages. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. The seed metaphor invites us to realize the smallness, the powerlessness of God's kingdom is really its strength. Listen to the seed, Jesus is saying. It has a life of its own. And when it finds the right soil, we can even sleep and it does its thing. The kingdom of God is like a seed. It's a symbol of death and life together. And when it grows by the grace of God, there is light and nesting and home and fruit and abundant grain and harvest. Perhaps we can see the work that we do each day is really about scattering seeds of God's kingdom within our own vocations, within our own families, within our own neighborhoods, within our own callings, whether it's working with children or whether working as an engineer or whether working with the land or whether we're working within the CBWC, all are acts of scattering seeds of God's kingdom. Is this a metaphor that makes sense for your life of faith? How? What do you need to hear from that seed today? And in a moment, I'll open it up for you to share with one another any reflections you have on these parables of the seed. The last story in this chapter is Jesus taking some time off to get away from the crowds, to be with his disciples, to rest and to sleep. And as this happens, a storm comes up. The disciples are so scared, they wake him, and Jesus calms the storm. And the final thing that Jesus says to them is in verse 40 to 41. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." We note in the story, the disciples were afraid this whole time. They were first afraid of the storm, and then they were afraid of Jesus who could still the storm. They didn't understand who Jesus was. And this goes on throughout the book of Mark because change is slow and it takes time. Because faith is like a seed and it needs to be buried first before it can produce anything. As we follow the disciples in the book of Mark, we see they are in and out of faith, in and out of understanding who Jesus was talking about and what this good news was about. And this especially comes to the fore when we get close to Jesus' death, his burial. I feel like we can relate to these disciples a lot. We don't really like being told the kingdom of God is like a seed. Why can't it be more powerful? Why can't it be more visible? Why can't growth happen faster? We're confused what God is doing much of the time. We have little faith. We're left with this mystery of the kingdom of God, the secret power of the kingdom of God as a seed. So I invite you to just take some time to listen to the seed this morning. What do you need to hear today from the seed about your life of faith or about the work that you're doing within the kingdom of God? Which one of these parables do you relate to most? How does the seed speak to you today? And if you want to share with each other, I invite you to share at this time. Thank you, everyone, for your words, your reflections. We have been taking a prayer with us into the week, just a one-liner prayer that you can pray right when you wake up in the morning or other parts during the day, at lunchtime, at dinner time. And I'm just wondering about this prayer. That's the next slide, Krista. Just reminding us the kingdom of God is like a seed. You might have another prayer that has come from this time. But let's, if you want to use this prayer, I offer it to you. And as the children are coming up, joining us for communion, let's say this prayer together. Let's say it together three times to let it sink in. And so we remember it as we go into the week. Together, I pray for ears to hear and eyes to see the seeds of God's kingdom around me. I pray for ears to hear and eyes to see the seeds of God's kingdom around me. I pray for ears to hear and eyes to see the seeds of God's kingdom around me. Amen.